In the name of the Transfigured One. Amen. So you're going to get some Allison Unplugged this morning. I wrote a sermon, and as I was preparing it last night, I was actually bored with my own self. So I thought, if I am not listening to myself, no one's going to listen to me. And in the middle, I thought, well, maybe somebody will get some good news out of this. But in the middle of the night, I had sort of a last epiphany, and I wanted to share it with you all this morning. I was thinking about Peter and James and John getting called up that mountain to this mountaintop experience. And I wondered how many of you have had a time in your life when you can say, that was my mountaintop experience. Maybe. I've had a mountaintop experience where I have felt on top of the world with God, with other fellow human beings. And I'll tell you, it's hard to come back down the mountain, but eventually you do. And either side of this gospel this morning has where the disciples started down the mountain, then they go up, and then they come back down. And on the first side is, in the 9th chapter of Luke, a paraphrase of what the disciples are being called to is this. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose you, the real you? So back to going up the mountaintop. So they've been taught this by Jesus. And then he says, Peter, James, John, come up the mountain with me. And there the glory of God is revealed to them. They must have felt really special, right? Peter, James, and John. They have the glory of God revealed to them up on this mountaintop. And so Peter scrambles, and what does he say? He says, let's build a place for them to stay. We want Moses and Elijah and Jesus just to stay here. Why don't we just stay here and enjoy the view? We used to live near the mountains, and if you can't stay in the mountains unless you're very prepared, you have to have provisions. You can't stay on the mountaintop. You get thirsty, you get lightheaded, you eventually have to come down. And Jesus is essentially saying the same thing. On the other end of the mountain, the disciples are called back down. And what's the first thing that happens? There's somebody in desperate need of healing. And that's the first thing they encounter down the mountain. They're back into the chaos of their everyday life after having been revealed to them the glory of God. So mountaintops. We are on one of the mountaintops of Cincinnati. And this church was built essentially to be a mountaintop experience for people. People gathered up here before this structure was even built. In 1844, a bishop had a vision of coming up the hill away from the city and enjoying being together with other like-minded Episcopalians. And so for decades, Calvary Clifton built a dwelling on the mountaintop. And now we're still on the top of the hill, but just down the hill are brothers and sisters who are much worse off than we are. And surrounding us is the entire city. So we didn't even have to be brought back down the mountain. The valleys have come to us at Calvary. You can't stay on the mountaintop isolated from one another, or you die. So I think today Jesus is giving us the real epiphany. And it is very real in our context. I think there's been good news in the past couple decades of this congregation. You all have been very intentional about going out into the midst of people, being among people at Tender Mercies, IHN, Habitat for Humanity, Caracol, Kane. You can just keep naming off all the ways this congregation has taken our experience of mountaintop spirituality here in this building and gone out and made a difference. But I wonder, in the days to come, how we might continue to be intentional about what it means to both experience the mountaintop and go back down from the mountain. At 9:30, I'm going to be showing the kids the cycle of our year and how we get to those ashes of Ash Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we're going to start Lent. We're going straight down from the mountain into 40 days of reflection. And many people know this, and some don't know this, that the palms we wave on Palm Sunday, they're green and fresh, they dry out, and then we burn them up, and we put them on our head. And then we have hope that over 40 days, our spirits will be renewed, will be shown the glory of God through the way of the cross, and something new will come to life. So where is this in my unplugged thoughts? What's the good news? The good news is that I believe we're called to the cycle of life at Calvary Parish, but to be attentive to what needs to be burned up and what can be put on our foreheads as a sign of what was, and then for us to spend these next 40 days in hope of what might spring up. So what I'm going to do with those ashes, I got these little pots, and I put seeds in them. And I'm going to sprinkle the ashes on the pots, put a little water on them. That could remind us of our baptism, I guess. That's what I'll say a little bit. And we can have faith that out of what has been, something new will emerge. That's what I believe our hope is this Lent, and for us to be paying attention. Pay attention to the ashes, and that those ashes are being put on your very alive forehead, waiting for what is next to emerge. That's what I have for you this morning. In the name of the resurrected one, the transfigured one, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.